All right, so we'll say good morning. So today's daf is Tes Zayin. We're actually going to pick up. We left off yesterday on Tes Vav Amud Beis. Tes Vav Amud Beis. So if you remember again, the Gemara quoted a Mishnah, and the Mishnah said the following. The Mishnah spoke about the arrangement of some of the chambers within the Beis HaMikdash. Specifically, what the Mishnah was speaking about is the Skan Kohen Gadol would go ahead and order them to bring a Tala, order them to bring a sheep, from the Lishkas Beis HaTloim. So the Gemara, which again is the sheep chamber. So the Gemara discusses that the sheep chamber, Haisa b'miktsoa tzifonis ma'aravis, was in the northwest corner. Okay, so that's the first Mishnah has us as the sheep chamber being in the northwest corner. Or minhu. So let's pick up now five lines up from the bottom. Or minhu, arba lishkos hayu lebeis hamokot. There were four chambers within the Beis Hamokot. Now, also remember, we identified the Beis Hamokad literally as the fire chamber. Now, we'll discuss one of the interesting things that's going to come up over here is we'll see a machlokis in terms of how everything was arranged, that we will see, and it's also going to be machlokis on how things were actually named.
It's like sub-chambers?
Sub-chambers. The truth is, if you want to see, I think actually, see if I included it in this sheet. I don't think I did now that I realize it. No, I did not. But let me show you just quickly. Well, let's read it first, and then I'll show it to you. So he wants to say, Arba lishkos hayu lebeis hamokad kikitonios. There were four different chambers within the Beis Hamokad that were essentially arranged. Kitonios literally means like suites, chambers. Kikitonios ha-pesuchos letraklim, that opened up into a large hole, which Rabbi Yossi essentially means here, if you want to see this just quickly, this would be what you're looking at over here, if you could see this from my Gemara, is an aerial view. So what it means is there are four different subchambers that open up into a common area. That's the aerial view.
Okay. So it's really a huge place. Good. The art scroll is over here.
Oh, good. Okay, you have an art scroll, so good. So the Gemara says the following. I'm going to try to track down. There's got to be a picture book on Yuma. Just like there was for, just like we had for Erevin. I have to assume that there's something. I mean, that's I'm going to look for it today. All right, you know, so the Gemara says, Arba lishkos hayu lebeis hamokad kikitonios ha-psuchos letraklim. That were like these suites that opened up into a larger common area. Shtayim b'kodesh, shtayim b'chol. There were two of them that were in the Kodesh, two of them that were in the Chol. Now, I will say, what we will also see is that not every part of the Har HaBayis had the same level of consecration. Certain parts of the Har HaBayis were called Kodesh, and certain were Chol. Obviously, the entire Har HaBayis is Kodesh. Everything is sanctified, but the chiluk between Kodesh and Chol is talking about where a person who was Tomei would technically be able to come. Now, the reason why that you had to have certain parts of the Beis HaMikdash compound to remain Chol, we'll see in just a little bit. The Rashi Paspasim, Mavdilin ben Kodesh to Chol, and they would literally have these pillars, these tops of these posts that would divide between the Kodesh and the Chol part. Umahayu Mishamshamos. And what would Mishamshos? And what would these four Lishkos, these four chambers actually serve? What would they do? Ma'aravis Tiromis, Yihaisa Lishkas Tlaya Karban. So already, so he says, the southwest corner was the corner of the sheep chamber. Now, both say already, herein lies our contradiction right now. Because what did we say before?
Northwest.
We said before that the sheep chamber was the Tzfonis Ma'aravis, was the northwest. Here we're saying now it was the southwest. That's going to be the kasha. See how the top of Tazayin, Dromis Mizrachis, so the southeast corner. He lishka shay osim ba'lechem aponim. This was the lishka. This was the chamber in which they made the lechem aponim. So also remember, this goes back to our shkalim days. Remember we learned about the house of Garmu. The Garmu family were the ones who made the lechem aponim. So this is the chamber in which they made the lechem aponim. Mizrachis tsefonis. What was in the northeast corner? Listen to this, Rabbi Yossi. Amazing. In Yonah Dioma, Ba Gonzu Beis Chashmonai Avne Mizbeach, Sheshiktsu Malchi Ovde Kochavim. What was in this northeast chamber? This is where the Chashmonai family literally stored the stones of the Mizbeach that were used for idolatrous service by the Greeks. Amazing. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Sheshiktsu malchi obdei kochavim. Shehektiru alea la'avodos kochavim b'mikdash. Rabbi said the problem is when the Chashmonai came back to the Beis HaMikdash, they realized that the Mizbeach was used for idolatrous service. They felt, therefore, it was inappropriate to go ahead and use that Mizbeach for the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what did they do? They essentially broke it apart. But because it's the Mizbeach, you can't just simply toss it back into the quarry. What do you have to do? They put in Sheamus. They put it in Sheamus. They literally made it. They used an entire chamber to store these stones. Tzfonis Ma'arabis. What do you do in the northwest corner? Ba Yordan LeBeis HaTvila. So, Bosa is very interesting. The northwest corner was the corner that was used to go ahead and go to the mikvah. And we'll see what this mikvah is later on. This mikvah, there was a subterranean mikvah in the Har HaBayis. Because what would happen essentially if you had a kohen who became tummy? Kohen became tummy on Har HaBayis. See, here's the problem. To make him walk out of Har HaBayis could potentially cause him to what? Could potentially cause him to traverse certain areas that are Kodesh. So they had essentially a chamber that had a staircase to a subterranean mikvah. There are actually two mikvahs. There was one mikvah on ground level of the Beis HaMikdash, and actually there were a couple of mikvahs, and another subterranean mikvah. We actually saw already earlier in Yuma, and we saw this in Shkalim also. There were tunnels in the Har HaBayis that were not sanctified. They were not Kodesh. So often that was the easiest way for a kohen who became tummy to become Tahar. Amar Rav Huna, So we have a contradiction over here. So we have a contradiction because, again, Lemaisa, the Mishnah that the Gemara quotes over here is a Mishnah in Midos, as opposed to again, the earlier Mishnah, which was a Mishnah in Tamid. So the Mishnah in Tamid says that the Lishka for the Tefillin was in one place, and the Mishka and the Mishnah in Midos gives a different location. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, Man Tana Midos. No, okay, so it's two different authors. It's not a contradiction, two different authors. Who is the Tana Rabosai of Stam Mishnayis in Midos? Remember, this is now a general statement. Some of the Mishnayis in Midos have attributions, some of them do not. So when it's an unattributed Mishnah, who is the author? Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. It's Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. This Sanya, Ezras Noshim Haysa Orech Mea Ushloshim V'chamish. Al-Rochav Mea Ushloshim Chamesh. So the Mishnah says, the Ezras Nashim, also now what we call the Ezras Nashim is the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. So it's called the Ezras Nashim because, again, that's where, Lav Davka, that it was just the women who congregated there, people in general congregated there. It's called the Ezras Nashim, was 135 amos. By 135 amos, the Arba Lishkos Hayu, right? And there were four different chambers. Bedalid Miktsosa. So we'll say, remember, this is now in the courtyard in the Ezras Nashim, similar setup to what we saw earlier, which was there are four chambers in four corners. Umahayu Misham Shmo. So we'll say this is just fascinating to see how the Beis HaMikdash was set up. Now, this, by the way, you do actually have over here in your packet. There you go. Sorry. I apologize. Just keep me on your toes for that. You don't yet have this in your pocket. But again, it's the same. This actually is not complicated to visualize. Just imagine a courtyard, and in the four corners of the courtyard, you have four different chambers. And what were the four different chambers? Diromis, Mizrachis, Southeast, he haisa lishkas nazirim. I will say, this was the chamber of the nazirim. Person was a Nazir. What do you need a chamber of a Nazir? Listen to this. Shesham Nazirim Mevashtim Eshamehem. That's where the Nazirim would cook their shlamim, right? Because you'd offer a shlamim and Rabbosai part of when the Nazirite vow ends. So there's a whole process that has to occur. Part of it is the Asterim and carbon shlamim. So that's where they would cook their shlamim. Again, obviously, the shlamim itself would be offered inside in the Kodesh. But after they got their part that was for their consumption, they took it out to this chamber. Listen to this. Umagalchin Sa'aron. That's where they took their haircut. Right? The Nazirite upshare. And that's where they did it. So they did it in that chamber. Umshalchin Tachas Hadud. And what would they do with their hair? They would throw it into the fire that they were used to cook their sacrificial meat. Again, symbolizing the idea that the hair is Kodesh as well. I will say, when we get to Nazir, we'll discuss again if they actually had to do that with their hair, or could they just go ahead and just get a regular haircut? We'll see that. But Pashas, it sounds like over here that the hair itself has a lot of a consecrated status and therefore had to be burned literally in the Beis HaMikdash as well. Mizrachis Tzifonis, what do they do in the northeast corner? So the Gemara says, He haisa lishkas dir ha'etim. It's very interesting. This was the chamber of wood. What do they do in the chamber of wood? Shishan Osai, so what would you assume they stored in the chamber of wood?
Wood.
All right, excellent. All right, I don't want to push it too hard. It's in the arts crowd. So now listen, so Osai, remember, we spoke about before, you have to understand something. So I guess the truth is, if you have a fireplace, you could appreciate this. You can't just burn any wood. Right, in order for wood to burn, wood has to be dry. Moist wood will not dry. So what they used to do is they had to collect wood. We actually saw in Shkolim, remember again, that there were different families that pledged wood at different times. So, but one of the interesting things they had to do was also shasham kohat. They had to deworm wood. Deworm wood. So who would deworm the wood? Shasham kohanim ba'ali mumim omdin umaslin be'etzim. I will say, who did this? Is amazing. Kohanim who had mumim. So kohanim who had certain blemishes, were not able to do the avoda, but what? But lemaisa, again, they were permitted to go ahead and deworm the wood. Shekol each sheish otolas pasul gav mizbeach. Because any wood that has worms in it was pasul for the mizbeach. Siphonis ma'arabis, what was done? What was done in the, I guess this is the northwest corner. He haisa lishkas ha-mitzoroin. This was the lishka, this was the chamber for the mitzoroin, for the people at Saras. Now, Rabosai, remember, the reason why the mitzoroin needed their own lishka is because, remember, part of their purification process was application of sacrificial blood on their right, on their ear, on their thumb, on the toe. So there's a whole, so it was very interesting. They had to be in the Beis HaMikdash, despite the fact that they still had some level of ritual impurity, because the blood applications could only be done in the temple compound itself. So what happens? Ma'arabis Duromis, what was done again now in the southwest corner? Oh, listen to this, Rabbi, it's amazing. Amar Rabbi Elazar Yaakov, shachachti ma'aisa mishameshes. Rabbi Elazar Yaakov says, the truth is, I don't remember. I don't remember what they used it for. Rabbi Elazar, just so you understand, it's just an interesting insight in general that we often assume that what the Churban Beis HaMikdash did is that the destruction of the temple was just simply the loss of a temple. It's much more than just the loss of a temple. The Churban, the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, was a loss of a way of life. And that loss of the way of life is that there were things that were for us. Rabbi Elazar Yaakov says, the truth is, my heart breaks. I don't even remember what they used it for. I don't know what they used it for. Abishol says, don't worry, I know. Abishol says, Bahaisa nosnin yain b'shemen. That's where they used to place the wine and the oil. Rabbi Elazar b'pashtos for libations. That's where they used to place the wine and the oil. V'hihai senikres lishkas beis shamnia. And they called it the literally beis shamnia shemen, the oil chamber. Hachinam mistab. So we'll say again. Except for the Gemara is just pointing out is that lemaisa, here's another stam mishnah reflecting the view of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and therefore just supporting this idea that all stam mishnayos and mesechas midos reflect the view of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. That's all we're trying to prove over here. And once we establish that, then the fact that there's a contradiction or there's a difference in opinion between midos and between tamid, that doesn't bother us, because there's always a difference of opinion. The only time differences of opinion bother us is when it's the same person, because then it's not a difference of opinion, then it's a contradiction. But as long as you could attribute different opinions to different authors, no problem. So we're just proving the fact that Mishnayis, Stam Mishnah Midos, is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So somebody stops you and say, by the way, I couldn't sleep last night because I wonder who is a Stam Mishnah Maseches Midos. Boom, you've got that. You've got that, right? Good. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Okay, good. Let's make sure we're on the same page with this. So Gemara says, Halkanami Mistabra. So the Gemara says, this would appear to be true as well. another proof. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. That's Stam Mishnah Midos, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. This man, Kolbos said, this is very interesting. And this is where the images, the pictures that I gave you will hopefully be helpful. Kolak salam shayu sham hayu givoin. All of the walls that surrounded the Beis HaMikdash were tall. Chutz mikosal mizrachi. I will say with one exception, which was the eastern wall. Why? Shakoin hasroif hasapara omid bahara mishcha. Something we learned earlier. Because remember, for the Paraduma, is not, the surface is not done on the Harabayis, rather it's on a Haramishcha, it's on a Harazisim. And remember again, we saw in Shkolim already that what? That when the Kohen does the surface of the Paraduma, he has to be able to see the entranceway of the Heichal. So the Gemara says over here, the Mishnah says over here, that all of the walls were tall, with the exception of the eastern wall. The eastern wall was lower than the rest of the walls. Why? Because if the eastern wall was as tall as the other walls, then it would obstruct the view of the Kohen, who was doing the Paraduma and Harazisim. Therefore, the eastern wall was lower so as to allow visibility of the Kohen into the opening of the Heichal at the time that he did the Avodah. Utinan, and we learned, Kala Psachim Shayusham, Golfin Esrim Amma, Varoch Ban Esr Amos, all of the entranceways that led into the Beis HaMikdash were all again had a height of 20 Amos and a width of 10 Amos. Utinan, and we learned, Vilifnim Mimenu Soreg. I will say, and we learned, it's actually very interesting, that they're essentially this. I believe actually I did give you a picture of this. I hope I'm not wrong again. Yeah, okay, I did. It's on, actually on the third, it's on the fourth page in your packet. Not the art scroll pictures, the other ones. So you'll see over here, it's the picture that says 31. I apologize, you can't, the Seder already gave me the muster for this. I should have made you better copies. But if you'll notice over here, when we speak about the wall, like for example today, what we call the Kotel today. So remember, that was part of the outer walls that surrounded the Temple Mount. So what you had were these large outer walls, and then again, you had the Temple Mount, which was like a large plaza, and then what you had is something called the Soreg. We actually learned about the Soreg in Shkalim as well. The Soreg was that little fence. You see where it says on that picture the word Chel? So if you notice, right to the right of that word Chel, there's a darkened thing. That's actually a fence. So that's a fence. So that's called the Soreg. It's called the Soreg. So what happened? Now follow this along. Ulefnim mimenu hachel. Inside the Soreg, there's an open space. You see between the fence and the steps? That's called the Chel. Eser Amos. And that was an area of 10 Amos in there. Actually, this picture works well because you can see. Now, when you go, so if you enter into the Soreg, because you see actually there's a little bit of an opening there, you enter into the Soreg. That leads you into the Chel. And then what? There are 12 steps that lead you up to another platform. And what happens? There are 12 steps that were there. Rome Ma'ala Chatziyama. The height of each step was a half an amma. The shilcha, we'll say shilcha literally means the tread, which means, I don't know, the width of the step. Is that the right word?
Horizontal portion
of the step, okay. Was chatzi amma, was another half an amma as well. Tesvav malos olos misocha, hayordos me'ezras yisrala ezras noshim. And we'll say now, there were another 15 steps that went up from that. We'll say that would take you in. Now, if you look over there, if you look, it's still in picture 31. So you went up those 12 steps, and what would happen? You'd walk into an entranceway. That entranceway now took you into number 32. Okay, now you'd be looking again at another entranceway, and that's why it says again, Tesov Ma'alos Mitocha, Hayordos Me'ezras Yisrael, Le'ezras Noshim. So we'll say now you'd go up another 15 steps, and those 15 steps would take you into the Ezras Noshim. Ezras Noshim again means what? Means the just general courtyard. Rum Ma'ala Chatzin Amal, the height of each step was half an amma. V'shulcha, and again the tread of each step was half an amma as well. Utnan, and we learned, Beina Ulam la Mizbeach, Chof Beis Amma. Between the Ulam, Rabbi, also remember, the Ulam is the antechamber. That was the Ulam was. I didn't give you a picture of that. Yeah, the truth is, if you take a look, Rabbi Osai, if you take a look, let me actually show you this. We'll use this picture for just a moment so you can see what we're talking about over here. Just to give you, this is the aerial view. Again, when we talk about the Ulam, the base hamikdash, the structure itself was T-shaped. We normally call this the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The top of the T is what's called the Ulam. That's the antechamber. If you remember, again, we actually learned about that in Erevin for the first time. It's also called the Kodesh. The base of the T is what's called, it's already called the Kodesh. The base of the T itself, the thin part of the T, that's where you had all of the Kalim, the menorah, the shulchan, the mizbeach, the golden altar. And of course, then the very back of the T was separated by a curtain, and that's where you had the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So here, all the Gemara is doing is giving us all of the dimensions of the actual base HaMikdash itself. So the Gemara says again, back to the Gemara now. Between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. So again, remember, the Ulam is the top of the T. The Ulam is the top of the T, and the Mizbeach was 22 Amos. The Mizbeach being referred to over here, I will say, is the outer Mizbeach, what we call the Mizbeach Achitzon, which was the Mizbeach ultimately for animal sacrifice. There were another 12 steps there. Rum Ma'ala Chatzi Amo, Vishilcha Chatzi Amo. Again, with the height of a half an Amo, and a tread of a half an amma as well. Now, also, I guess what it's saying now is, remember, what we've seen so far is a series of steps. What the Gemara is pointing out over here is that there are varying elevations in the base of Mikdash. That's why You'll notice, again, in the on the first couple of pages that I gave you, we're not going to spend too much time really focusing on the differences of opinion, but you'll see everybody agrees that there is an ongoing heightened elevation as you get into the Beis HaMikdash. Because again, we've seen already, you enter in, remember, you've entered into the Soreg, and again, even if you're just following over here, the truth is, if you look at pictures 31, 32, and 33, which is on the fourth page of your packet over here, so if you'll notice again, you walk into the Chel, go up a series of steps, you walk into the Soreg, into the Chel, go up a series of steps, go into that entranceway, that takes you into what we call Ezras Yisrael, that's picture 32. To go from Ezras Yisrael, you go up another series of steps, that takes you into the Ezras Noshim, and then ultimately in number 33, now you're already in the area right before the Ulam. And if you'll notice again, so there's 22 amos between the Mizbeach HaChitzon and the entranceway of the Ulam, and if you'll notice, again, I apologize, the quality of the picture, you can't get it as fully, but you can see there's another set of steps in between the Mizbeach to ultimately go up into the Ulam, into the Beis HaMikdash, into what we'll call the Beis HaMikdash proper.
Only Kohanim
enter the Ulam. We'll actually see that's going to be the next step. We're going to see who could even go in. In picture 33,
you're coming in from,
well, there's a whole variety of ways you could come in. If you're following 32, you're coming in from the left, where that sign says Mizrach. That little arrow says Mizrach. That's where you're coming in from. So we'll see exactly where everybody could go in just a moment. Jose, also tells you, we think about the Beis HaMikdash. What a grand structure. What a grand structure. It's amazing. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Utnan, Rebbe Lazar ben Yaakov says, Ma'ala haisa sham v'gavoha ama. This is fascinating. There was a platform there that was an amahai, v'duchan nosun aleha. And I will say, there was a duchan. Now, here's what's interesting. What does duchan mean? Duchan means a platform. Platform, v'shalosh bubo shalosh ma'alos, Shel chatzi ama, and there were three steps, and each step had a half an ama. Now, both said, listen to this. Turn the page now to picture 34. This is amazing. Today when the Kohanim go up to go ahead and give the bracha, we call it the going to duchen. That term originally is not a Kohanic term. Levim, you should be outraged. You should be outraged. You should speak to your union heads. It should be like a class action lawsuit because the Kohanim stole that term from you. If I was a lady, I'd be outraged. Right, you guys. I'm giving you a 2-minute head start. Right? Get Mr. Martyr on the way out. Go, right? So listen to this. That term actually comes from the Levium, because the Levium used to sing Shira in the Beis HaMikdash opposite the Mizbeach on a duchen. But Rabbi say, here's what's fascinating. If you look at pictures 34 and 35, there is a machlokes Rashi Tosis. How the duchan was arranged. Here's what everybody agrees with. There were three steps, and each step was a half an amma. Now, also, what's interesting about this is the following. So essentially, those three steps really formed the platform for the Levitic choir. What's the machlokes? The machlokes was which way the platform faced. If you look at 34 is the shita of Rashi. So Rashi clearly has the platform facing the Mizbeach, which always seems to be intuitive, right? Because again, the Shira is actually part of sacrificial service. So they can imagine, imagine this scene. It's amazing. You'd have the Levitic choir. And again, I just want to point out for the Levium, not everybody makes the cut with the Levitic choir. I don't want you to think that because it's a Levy, just you're automatically in, right? I'm saying this is, they had like the Levitic, the tie-outs, who's got talent, whatever they call it, the Levitic equivalent. The Levy's got talent, right? You could phone in with your votes. And so the idea is, because if you'll notice, again, it's a big platform, but it's not that big. You can't get every single Levi up there. Because again, Levium also had their different jobs. So according to Rashi, the Levitic choir actually faced the Mizbeach. According to the Tosfos Shanim, which is picture number 35, actually the choir, now again, I'll say it could be one of two things. It doesn't actually have to mean that the choir faced away. It could just mean that they were arranged differently. So it's not clear exactly, according to Tosfos Shanim, if they actually were, which direction they faced. But again, clearly according to Rashi, all right, in any event, machlokis as to which way it faced. So the Gemara says, I amrit b'shalom Elazar ben Yaakov yi, haynu d'ichas le'pischa. So again, if you say, going back, remember, this whole thing is only to prove that Stam Mishnayis and Meseches Midos reflect the Yor Belozer Ben Yaakov. See, if you say that the Mishnah reflects the Yor Belozer Ben Yaakov, so what's like going all the way back? Remember how this all started? How did this start? This started because we wanted to say that although all the walls of the Beis HaMikdash were high, the eastern wall had to be shorter. Why? In order to allow the Kohen view when he was doing the part of the move from Har HaMishcha, from the Mount of Olives, into Haraz, into Harabais. So that makes sense if you say it, the position of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Then we understand, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, indeed, the dimensions of his walls would have prevented the Kohen standing on Har HaMishcha, doing the Paraduma, from seeing into the Harabais. That's why the eastern wall had to be lower. Eli Amrit Rabbanon, but according to the rabbis, they have different dimensions of the walls. And according to the rabbis, Ha'ika Palga de Amsa de Mischazi le Pischa Bikaveh. Now both say, in the rabbis' version of the dimensions of the walls, there actually would have been a half an amma opening in which the Kohen standing on Har HaMishcha could have seen into the opening of the Beis HaMikdash. Shabbosai, all the Gemara is proving is like this. According to the Rabbanan, you would not have needed to lessen the dimensions of the eastern wall because the wall actually had a half an amma opening that would have allowed the Kohen to see in from Har HaZesim to Har HaBayis, literally to the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash. The fact that the Stam Mishnah says that what? That the eastern wall had to be lower in order to allow the Kohen unobstructed visual sight into the Har HaBayis indicates that what? That a Stam Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. El Lav Shema Minah, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Fine, so the Gemara just brought another proof that Stam Mishnah and Meseches Midos reflects the view of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Adabar Ava Amar, Rabbi Adabar Ava says, well, not necessarily. Hamani Rabbi Hudahi. Maybe it reflects the view of Rabbi Huda. We'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Last three lines. Rabbi Adabar Ava Amar Hamani. Tani the Kosel Mizrahi Hutzrach Lios Namuch. Rabbi will say, we made the automatic assumption that according to the Rabbanon, we know you don't have to lessen the size of the eastern walls, and therefore the only opinion you hold is that you have to lessen the size, the height of the walls of the eastern walls as Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Now the Gemara says, Rabbi Adabar Ava says, maybe not. Maybe, in fact, it could actually be Rabbi Yehuda. Because what does Rabbi Yehuda say? Diktani the kosel mizrach hutzrach lios namuch. Rabbi Yehuda he da'amar hamizbeach omeid be'emtza ha'azara kineget ha'pesachim. Because Rabbi Yehuda is one of us, we'll see this in Gemara in just a moment, that the mizbeach stood in the middle of the azara, in the middle of the courtyard. Again, remember, this is the large animal sacrifice mizbeach. Opposite the entrance ways. The nimtza gov ho so same as Pesach hatachton shahari Allah karka azars bikarka hatachton yud gimel amas. So we'll say, listen to this. It could be that it's Rabbi Yehuda also. Why? No, look at the Gemara. The Sanya. Rabbi Yehuda says hamizbeach memutza. The mizbeach was centered. The omed beemtza haazara, and it stood literally in the middle of the courtyard. Ushloshem Ushtayim Amos Hayulo. And ultimately its width was 32 Amos. Eser Amos Kineged Pischo Shohecha. 10 of those Amos are sat directly opposite the entrance of the Hechel. Yud Aleph Amos Litzafon. 11 Amos extended out to the north. Yud Aleph Amos Lidarom. And 11 Amos extended out to the south. Nimtza Mizbeach mechavin kineget hecha. Rabbi said, therefore, in Rabbi Huda's model, the mizbeach itself is literally opposite the doorway of the hecha, the koslav and its walls. V'isakadaitcham midos Rabbi Hudahi. And if you think that the Stam Mishnah reflects the view, if you think that the Stam Mishnah and Meseches Midos reflects the view of Rabbi Huda, that can't be. Why? Mizbeach be'emtza azara mimeshtachasle. Could we actually agree? Could we actually hold that the mizbeach was in the middle of the azara? The Hatanon, but we learned, listen to this, Rabbi Osai, Kol ha'azora ha'yso orech mea ushmonim v'sheva al rochav mea ushloshim v'chamesh. Rabbi Osai, listen to this. The entire length of the Azara was 187 Amos on a width of 135 Amos. Min ha'mizrach l'ma'arav, when you're measuring from east to west, Mea Ushmonim V'sheva. Ultimately, again, there's Mea Ushmonim V'sheva. There is 187 Amos. Makom Jerisas Ragle Yisrael. Now watch this. The area, I don't think I included this in your packet. I don't know why. I mean, again, it's just measuring it out over here. Just so you understand what that includes. Just as when we talk about 187 amos, that is literally from one end, to the other. But that's only from the area over here. You could see essentially it encompasses, that's 187. From what we'll call the Azara, the courtyard, not the Ezras Noshim, but the Azara that ultimately housed the Mizbeach Achitzon, through the back of the Beis HaMikdash itself. So the entire area, again, I will say, remember, if you keep following this over here, that's where you'll find the Ezras Noshim, and that's ultimately where you'll find, again, the four chambers that we spoke about earlier as well. So 187 Amos. So the Gemara says, Yud Aleph, Mokom Drisas Ragla Yisrael, Yud Aleph Amo. The area where the what we call Drisas Yisrael, where the regular people could walk, that was 11 amos. So we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here. No, actually, it's the wrong Rashi. It's not the wrong Rashi. It's the right Rashi, just not on this here. You could see it over here. I'm sorry, I should read the New Jersey Ask copy of this page. But if you look over here, do you have it in the article, this picture? Is there a picture of this in the article?
No.
Okay, it's fine. So if you look over here, the last 11 Amos, which is the 11 Amos further from the entranceway of the Ulam, further from the entranceway of the Mikdash, those 11 Amos were areas in which a regular Yisrael could walk.
It's the
first 11 Amos of this area that you walk into.
You can only go as far as the beginning of the Mizbeah.
Well, no, you're actually further. Truth is, you know what? It's actually up to the Duchan. Up to the Duchan is where regularly Yisrael could walk. Oh, good. Okay, perfect. Picture 35 in your sheets. You can see it. So up to the Duchan is where a regular person, part of it, I want to point out, it's up to the, you see, it's interesting. In Rashi's version of the Duchan, remember, it's up to the actual wall of the Duchan. In the Tosos Yishanim, it's actually up to the step before the Duchan. Okay, so up to the Duchan is where regularly Yisrael could walk. Next, Yiralef Ama Mokom Drisas Raglei HaKohanim. Then what happened? You have another 11 Amos, where Stam Kohanim can walk as well. Yud Alef Ama Mizbeach, there's another 11 Amos to the Mizbeach itself. The Gemara is just giving you now the dimensions of the open space as well. So again, you have 11 Amos that you could walk into the Dohan, 11 Amos ultimately until the Mizbeach, which is ultimately called the place where the Kohanim could walk, 32 Amos that the width of the Mizbeach itself occupies, Beino Ulam Mizbeach, Eshim Ushtaim. Now, between the Ulam and the Mizbeach was another 22 Amos. So we'll say, here's what we have so far. When you're walking into, now this is the courtyard that contained the Mizbeach HaChitzon. First 11 Amos is where a regular Yisrael could walk through. That takes you to the Duchan. From the Duchan, another 11 Amos to the Mizbeach. That regular Kohanim could walk in. The Mizbeach itself occupies 32 Amos. And then between the Mizbeach to the entranceway of the Ulam was 22 Amos. Now we'll say again, the truth is, Moshe said, good.
11 Amos are good.
It includes the Duchan. The Duchan itself is not 11 Amos wide. You could see over here. That's why, again, I will say, I'll just show you again once more my picture. I'm not trying to see my pictures better, but okay. So look over here. So again, remember, you're walking into this area where the Mizbeach HaChitzon, first 11 Amos, which takes you up to the Duchan, is the area in which a regular Yisrael could walk. Next 11 Amos, which essentially is the area including the Duchan, Up until the Mizbeach is area where Kohanim could walk. Then you have the 32 Amos of which the Mizbeach sits. Okay. Now again, I'll say Kohanim could walk there also. It calls it the area that the Kohanim could walk. Why? Limiuti, to the exclusion of a regular Yisrael. 32 Amos, and then what? And then 22 Amos of space in between the Mizbeach and the entrance of the Ulam. Now I'll say that was not open space. Because what was there? Those were the steps up to the Ulam. All right, now weiter. Now the Gemara goes on. The Gemara says, Now again, remember, the Heichal itself was 100 Amos. The Yud Aleph Amo, Achore Besakapores. And then I will say, watch this. There was, interestingly enough, another 11 Amos of open space in between, right, the Beis Hamikdash, meaning the Beis Hamikdash structure itself did not actually go up against the back wall. Did not go up against the back wall. So ultimately, what you have over here are still the 11 Amos of space. Well, so just so you should know, when we have the Kosel HaMa'aravi, when we have the West Wall, the Western Wall is a remnant of this back wall. I mean, not this one over here, a little further back. But the Kosel HaMa'aravi is the wall that ultimately, again, which why is it called the Kosel HaMa'aravi? It's called the Western Wall. Why? Because it's a remaining wall of the western side of the Beis HaMikdash. So in fact, the Kosel HaMa'aravi is actually probably somewhere right about here. If you ever take the tunnel tours, so there's actually a spot there that is the closest spot to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You're actually opposite where the Holy of Holies actually was, which makes sense because remember the tunnel tours just take you straight across. So again, if you can imagine, so that tunnel takes you somewhere, somewhere right opposite. I'm sorry, look at the whole thing. I should hold it like this. Opposite here, because here's the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right opposite here, which means the Kotel, again, is pretty much right over here. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, next cycle, someone is going to help me with a PowerPoint. So the Gemara says the following. When again, when measuring from the south to the north, Mea Ushloshim V'chamish, ultimately you have 135 Amos, HaKevesh, the Hamizbeach Shishim. Ultimately, again, the ramp and the Mizbeach are 60 Amos. Ushtaim, 62. Min Hamizbeach Ulatabaos, Ches Amos. From the Mizbeach to the Tabaos, we're both saying again. Now we're just going in a different direction. Mizbeach Ulatabaos, remember again, was the, this is this picture now. So now this is talking about the north-south, as opposed to east-west, which we just did before. So now again, this is going to be north-south. So from north to south is 135 Amos. So the Gemara is just once again giving, I should have released the axis, I apologize, is really just giving you the breakdown of the way the floor plan. So now the Gemara says, one more time. So the Gemara says, from Minadarim Litzafon, Mea Ushloshim Mechamish. So you have 135 Amos. HaKevesh VaHamizbeach Shishim. So the Kevesh, the ramp, and the Mizbeach itself were ultimately Shishim Ushtaim, 62 Amos. Because we'll say, remember, in the previous calculation, we weren't talking about the Kevesh. Why? Because the Kevesh, the ramp, runs from south to north. Right, does not run from east to west. So therefore, in that calculation, all we were measuring was the width of the Mizbeach itself. So now we're taking into account the actual Kevesh. So the Kevesh and the Mizbeach were 62 Amos. Min HaMizbeach LeTabaos. So also remember, the Tabaos are the rings. What they used to do was they used to have these rings. They shechted the animals. How do you shecht an animal? You have to restrain the animal. So what would they do? These rings actually would come out. So they push the animal to the side. They put the animal's head down. They put the ring down on the animal's head to hold the animal in place, and they do the shechita right there. So from the mizbeach to the rings was 8 Amos. Makom ha-taba'as esrim v'arba. So again, the makom, so the actual space that the tabaos were 20. So they were also, they were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 rows of 3 taba'os each. So 18 taba'os that took up an area of 24 Amos. Min ha-taba'os to shkolim. So this is amazing. Shkolim. Right? From the taba'os to the tables. You know we spoke about this in shkolim? There were marble tables. There were silver tables. All different types of tables. So remember over here, these were actually silver tables. Right? Because again, they have sacrificial parts. You don't want anything to get heated up. So the Gemara says over here that there were 4 Amos between the rings and between the tables. Arba min ha-shulchanos le'nasun. So I will say again, the tables themselves, there were 6 tables. The tables themselves occupied Dalet Amos. So 6 tables. So again, space of 4 Amos in between the taba'os to the tables. The tables themselves occupy 4. And what happened? Min ha-shulchanos le'nasun arba. Another 4 Amos from the shulchanos and the tables to the nanosim. Rabbi say nanosim are short pillars. Nanos literally means a dwarf. So a nanosim were short pillars. What were these short pillars for? After they shechted the animal, they would hang these animals on the pillars to skin the animals. So there were 4 amos from the tables to the nanosim. And what happens? Min ha-nanosim l'kosel azora ches amos. And from, again, I will say there were six nanosim. The nanosim themselves ultimately took up 10.5 amos of space, which left 8 amos of open space to the wall. So I will say again, so just one more time. So we have over here is 135 amos in the north to south, or in this north to south, in the north to south direction. 10.5 amos from the wall to the Mizbeach, 62 amos of the ramp of the Mizbeach and the Mizbeach itself, 8 amos of space between the Mizbeach and the rings, 24 amos of space the rings took up, 4 amos of space between the rings and the tables. Tables take up 4 amos, 4 amos of empty space, then 10.5 amos of the Arnos and the pillars, and then 8 amos of equals of additional space. So the Gemara says, Vahamosar, and also what's interesting is, when you add all of that up, you still have 21 amos extra space. So what did you do with the 21 amos extra space? Beina kevesh v'la kosel. I will say that space was given, essentially, that was added on to additional space between the kevesh, between the ramp and the wall. Umakum hananasin, and also between the makum hananasin. So I will say again, what we're saying over here is we had to give some additional space between the ramp and the wall, and also between the nanosin themselves, min hananasin. The isak adaitcha, so we'll say the measurements that I gave you just a minute ago, include a distribution of the 21 amos of extra space. So the Gemara says, V'isak adait chamidos Rabbi Yehudahi. And if you want to say that, the Stamish Namzech is Midos Rabbi Yehudah, Mizbeach ve'emsa azara mi mishkach aslan. Could it be that the Mizbeach is actually in the middle of the azara? Haruba de Mizbeach bedarom. That's not true. The majority of the Mizbeach is actually in the southern direction. T'kai. Ella, top of Yudzayin. Ella, Lav Shmamina, Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov, he Shmamina. Rather, the Rav from here, what's Rabbi saying? That indeed a Stam Mishnah, that has to be that the Stam Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Yehuda, Shmamina. So again, even though we tried to posit that maybe a Stam Mishnah in Meseches Midos could be Rabbi Yehuda, it simply doesn't work because Rabbi Yehuda is the Mizbeach center, whereas according to the Stam Mishnah, Meseches Midos is actually more in the southern direction, and that only aligns with one opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov. So once again, we've proven conclusively that Stam Mishnah in Meseches Midos is like Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov. Rabbi, I just want to end with one very interesting piece, halacha lemaisa. There is like this. There's a tshuva by Rav Moshe. And the tshuva by Rav Moshe goes like this. If you remember again, on Amud Aleph, we spoke, going back a little bit, on Amud Aleph, we spoke about the fact that when the Chashmonaim came back to the Beis HaMikdash, they had to deconstruct the Mizbeach. Because it was used for idolatrous service, and therefore they felt it was not appropriate to use it for service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what did they do? They went ahead and they broke it apart, and they stored the stones. Remember, again, that's what the Mishnah says. That was in the, according to one opinion, according to Meseches Midos, Mizrachis Tsefonis. So that was in the northeast chamber is where they stored the stones of the Mizbeach. So Rav Moshe, I'll say this is an interesting tshuva about Rav Moshe. So listen to this. This is an Igros Moshe. Chelik Arachayim, Chelik Dalid, Simin Lamed Ches. Arachayim, Chelik Dalid, Simin Lamed Ches. Listen to this. Rav Moshe said, Shaila is like this. Im mutar lahachzik yiriya misefer Torah shenikra al yedei hanatsiyim yimach shema mezichram lezichron rishas hagoyim ha'ela. So here was the case. They had a sefer Torah that was destroyed by the Nazis yimach shema mezichram. And the Shaila asked Rav Moshe was, they want to keep the urea. They want to keep the, a section, thank you. They want to go ahead and keep a section of Yachzik Yerim Sif. They want to keep the section as a memorial as to what the Nazis Yimach Shemam V'Zichram did. They want to keep it. So I will say, whereas normally you'd say, you'd put it in Seamus, they want to keep it, whether it's they want to put it on display or whatever they want to do with it. But the point is, they don't want to put in Geniza. They want to leave it out. Is that permitted? So the Gemara says, O Dahaviz Bazeh Bizan La Sefer Torah, Utsricha Lekovro Bekarka Dafka. So interesting, Shiloh. So can you go ahead, and I'm also saying again, this is Lamaisa. Can you go ahead and put the section of the Sefer Torah on display? Or is that considered to be a bizoyon? Is that considered to be a degradation of the Sefer Torah? And in fact, again, the section should actually be buried. And Ramosha writes, listen to this. Umevi migimar, Ramosha brought this Gemara. Dilichora havile lignos avonim elu bekarka shuginiza hayoser tova. So listen to this. So Ramosha says, what should the Chashmonaim have done? Chashmonaim should have buried the stones. But it would appear they should have buried the stones. That would have been Geniza. But they didn't do that. Umashma, datam shalo ganzu bekarka, kiyem belishka mizrachis tsefonis, hukadei sheyiskeru rishas hayivanim. Says Rav Moshe, why didn't the Chashanim bury the stones? Why didn't they bury the stones? Why did they put it in a chamber? Remember, I will say the most bakavadic way to dispose of items that have been desecrated is burial. But yet they didn't bury it. They put it in a chamber. Why? Says Moshe, this is amazing. Why didn't they do it? He says, kidei sheyiskeru rishas hayivanim. Why didn't they bury the stones? So the stones should be a memorial to the evil acts of the Greeks. Ulahodos Lashem Yisbarach al Shetzilanu Mehem. But I will say, remembering the evil acts of the Greeks is not an end. It's a means. A means to what? To remembering the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has saved us. Ve'im kein, raya mizeh, de'in ze bizayon, mashenikar shebizu osam hayavan marashim. Therefore, says Rav Moshe, it's clear that the Chashmonaim felt that keeping these stones as a memorial and not burying them in order to remind them of the evil of the Greeks, and in order to remind them to give hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was not a bizayon, was not considered to be an act of degradation to the stones. therefore, he says, "Va'af agav d'medina kvar yatzu l'chulin mishum deba'o pritzim b'chalalu mikam makom harayom b'gemar." Okay, so he says, "Ve'al kein de'ein kan bizayon mashem achzikin osan l'zikaron." Therefore, says Rav Moshe, based on this Gemara by the Chashmonaim, Rav Moshe Paskin, that to keep a Sefer Torah that was desecrated by the Nazis, yimach shemam b'zichram, as a memorial, but again, a twofold memorial. A memorial, number one, about the evil that the Nazis Machshav Zichron perpetrated upon us, but also what? A reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has allowed us to be rebuilt. Rav Moshe says, that's not a bizayon. That's not considered to be a lack of respect to the Sefer Torah, just the opposite. It's allowing something that was mistreated so terribly to serve as a source of inspiration. What's the makar? Yuma Daf Gazayim.